Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Dr. Nick, the Incrementalist. Join me as I seek out the small incremental changes being applied in other industries that we can learn from and that can be applied in healthcare. Can these changes bring immediate value, but also add up to the big improvements and revolution we need in healthcare? Come along with me to explore the possibilities. My innovative guests from around the globe have used small incremental improvements to achieve their moonshot.
And this week, I'm delighted to welcome Chris Wickersham. He is the director of Cerecor. Chris, thanks for joining me today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Dr. Nick.
So this is an exciting episode. It's coming from HIMSS. We're recording it live. You're here with us. We're using appropriate safety precautions. But it's fun to actually be in a studio, even if it's physically distant. Excited to have you here. As I do with all of my guests, it's a good thing just to get a little bit of a background. Share a little bit of your history and how you arrived at this point in your career.
Sure, absolutely. I'd be happy to, Dr. Nick. So when I was working my way through college, I started taking calls to providing IT support for physicians and nurses around the country for various hospital systems. I really developed a passion for that as I was able to resolve issues and really get users, providers, nurses back to focusing on what they like to do most, which is providing patient care. So as I started doing that, I really just kind of grew to love the industry, worked into EHR implementations, especially into the big boom around the Affordable Care Act and the EHR implementations around the country, and continued to hone my skills and develop that. But really where the passion came in was working with patients. You get different various calls, and I have a particular story that if I may share that really hooked me into the business. It was about 3 to 4 months onto the job. I received a call from a woman that was working in the foundation, and a patient unfortunately was on his last legs, had a couple hours to live, or about 48 to 72 hours to live, and his oldest son was getting married. So we were looking to see what we could do to make his last moments on earth a little better. So what we were able to do was work with the on-site technology team, set up video Skype sessions, one at the altar, one at the foot of his bed, and he was able to see his oldest son get married shortly after he passed away. About a week later, I received an email from the family itself, and I still have that email today, and it was just, you see how thankful, how amazing people were, how amazed and happy they were and grateful that a particular hospital system could really not only focus on the care, but also the comfort. And at that moment, I really realized that healthcare is really the place to be and really wanted to focus on patients, providers, nurses, seeing IT as an enablement to their patient care experience as opposed to a barrier.
Yeah, you know, what a great story. I mean, I think we all have our sort of critical patient stories where that intersection with a patient, their relatives, you know, the importance of healthcare. And what I'm often heard to say is, you know, healthcare is very personal. It doesn't matter if you have that story or not. You've got some intersection through your relatives, through the people that you engage with, your family, friends. So we all have that connection. And that's really what drives this industry. It's all this goodwill and desire to sort of effect change. So I'm, you know, fascinated to hear that. I think it's just wonderful that we're able to help out in, you know, what are really quite difficult circumstances for those families. As you think about Cerecor, tell us a little bit about the company and what it is that you focus on and what you do.
Sure. So Cerecor provides IT solutions for healthcare companies around the country. Really, my area of focus is in the managed service areas, whether it's help desk support, application management support, network infrastructure, server support, and all the way into the patient support experience. So really, you know, we see ourselves as being the link to patient care in a way that really enables providers to, as I mentioned earlier, focus on the patient in front of them, not focus on that computer issue, that network issue that might be going on. We really pride ourselves on being able to keep systems up at a very high rate. When there is a problem, identify it quickly, get the right resolving groups on the call engaged, and resolve as quickly as possible. So the outside of, you know, my area in the managed services, we also provide other healthcare solutions from staffing solutions, staffing agencies, web design, advising, consulting, and so on and so forth.
So if I was to sort of summarize that, and forgive me, it sounds a lot like technical support for patients, for the system, for all of the providers. You know, that it's almost one of the areas that we all sort of intersect with in lots of different industries, not just healthcare, right? And let's be frank, it's a really difficult area to be successful in. No?
No, you're absolutely on point. It is a very difficult, area to be successful in, and it's truly magnified in the patient care space. It's truly magnified in healthcare. If you're working as a cable provider and the cable goes out, somebody can't watch the TV or the football match that's on. If you lose connectivity into a hospital system, vitals are no longer crossing into a patient chart. You're no longer able to order meds for a particular patient. So it's truly a very difficult environment to work in. All of our employees, we're so happy and proud to have them with us because we all share that same passion for patient care. It goes beyond the paycheck. It's really a higher calling and a duty that we all come to perform.
You know, it's interesting, and as you talk about that and the challenge of IT type support, you think about the additional layer, you know, and the story that you told of, you know, the patient who can't get to that event, you know, providing that. Can you imagine the frustration that might exist in those patients trying to deal with technology? They have layered on sickness, health problems, challenges of medications, you name it, and suddenly the button isn't working. I mean, we've all experienced it. It doesn't matter what technology, and, you know, I'm probably infamous online for calling out folks when, you know, the technical support just doesn't work. How do you reconcile that and provide a support infrastructure that helps deal with that? Because that's not ordinary IT support in my mind.
No, and it's not. And I think, you know, our culture, our focus is not only on the patients, but on our employees. And I think providing the right support structure for our employees to really understand and see that we care for them, that we care for the environment, it really helps them see the same purpose that we have. Just as an example, when our service desk, our support agents, every single one of those are automatically added to the patient support queue. The reason why we do this is we truly feel that it gives them that direct hand in the patient experience. You're not just an agent that's troubleshooting a network connection over the phone. You're actually somebody that's talking to a patient, a parent of a sick child that is in need of medical attention, medical care, and feeling that experience. So it's a difficult place, but at the same time, it can be extremely rewarding.
So I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that COVID-19 made your job an awful lot easier, right?
Oh yeah, define easy. Yeah, I mean it was transformational. COVID, like it or not, it was a disruption. It was a disruption to the entire industry. For us, and I'll focus on the service desk again. We were a brick and mortar company. We were working inside of Nashville.
Wait, brick and mortar? What's that?
Oh, I'm sorry. We were working physically on site at a location. Right. And in COVID, in 72 hours, we enabled all of our agents to work from home. We didn't know it was going to happen. The lockdown started, and we provided the right technology. We provided the right support system to allow them to work efficiently from home. But at the same time, while all this is happening and we're trying to keep our operation moving, the disruption to the overall healthcare industry happened. So we're just trying to keep up with everything that the organizations were going through, whether it was the cancellation of electives where, you know, providers were being furloughed, where employees are being furloughed, and you're trying to kind of keep up with the HR identity access management piece of it. But at the same time, all of these healthcare systems are rushing and they're you know, focused that these telehealth initiatives that they had 5 to 7 year plans in were expedited to a 4 week time frame. So we were on the other side of that, just making sure that both the organization and the patients were supported throughout that entire process.
So I imagine that telehealth was an additional layer of complexity, which previously it was a nice to have. And to be clear, that's not my sort of position. I think it was historically that was how it was perceived. We've moved on from there. Telehealth became a necessity, but now suddenly you're dependent on all this technology that we carry around, laptops, whatever, and people are trying to access this. That's their only access, and it's not working, and you're right in the middle of it.
That's correct. That's correct. And it affected both sides. You know, it wasn't just, and in the past, to your point, it wasn't nice to have. The areas where telehealth were being promoted were in rural areas where maybe you couldn't get a specialist that was 90 miles away over there, so you would focus on a telehealth visit for initial consult. But now in you know, heavily urban areas, heavily densely populated areas, you're just trying to keep everybody as socially distant as possible, and this became the necessity. So when it came to the telehealth aspect of it, from the provider experience, you know, these are some providers that haven't worked in telehealth either. And there's a lot of not only the technology obstacles that are in the way. And what I mean by technology obstacles, I'm talking about the hardware requirements, the peripherals, the webcams, the audio things, the things that happen that, you know, you just expect to work. But on the other side of that, you also have your clinical workflows. So if we're focusing on, let's say, Epic MyChart, for example, in order for me to actually initiate a visit, I have to run through a particular workflow in Epic through a check-in process that even enables me to enter the patient space. But that has to occur from both the provider side and the patient side. So we were providing two-way education on both sides, and you know, you weren't exactly sure who you were going to get at any given time to kind of help initiate that process. And to that point, standard portal support was nice to have as well too. Somebody wanted to get in their chart, see what a lab result looked like. This had a little bit more urgency to it. A provider was waiting on the other end of the phone. He has another appointment that's 25, 30 minutes down the road. So you had to kind of find quick resolutions fast and efficiently. And really, you know, there were times when we'd be talking to a provider on one and we were talking to the patient. Another agent was talking to the same patient that was, you know, trying to kind of get into the same visit. So it was interesting to kind of see both sides of that paradigm and, you know, the different information that we were able to provide hospital organizations to help optimize that experience, I think, went a long way.
So for those of you just joining, I'm Dr. Nick, the Incrementalist. Today I'm talking to Chris Wickersham. He's the director of Cerecor. We're just talking about all of the change that took place with COVID-19, telehealth, all of this technology that's just essentially washed over our systems, challenged both sides of that equation, the clinicians who are trying to deal with all of this technology. It suddenly was no longer, you know, well, I could just deal with that. I can call somebody, they can show up, that elbow side training. And also, importantly, the patient side of this that really sort of, you know, the enormous stress associated with it. And, you know, Chris, you brought it up. You talked about portals. Tell me a little bit about what's going on there, because we've suddenly made them much more important. But, you know, they don't come with the best history in healthcare, right?
Sure. I mean, it was always seen as an afterthought. And I was guilty of that, too. You know, 7-8 years ago, I go to a doctor's visit. They'd have me, hey, sign up for my patient portal. What do I need this for? I'm not sure I really need to go through this. I mean, I need it when I'm sick, right? You know, when it comes to the portal industry, we've saw an explosion of volume that happened right around that March-April timeframe when COVID was happening. There was a lot more urgency to either connect with the provider, to view lab results, particularly in a quick time period to see, one, were you COVID negative, were you COVID positive, but other aspects that you couldn't get in for routine visits anymore. So you had to look at a digital experience that can, you know, somewhat replace that in-person experience that you're having with your provider. So, you know, what we've seen with portals, we've seen registration from patients go up. We've seen volumes coming into our support desk from our support areas going up. But we've also seen that not only in the medium of calls, but we've seen it in the medium of you know, in-basket messages, digital self-service portal incidents, and really focusing on how we can quickly provide that level of support to the patients. But there were a lot of other boundaries that came with that. You know, just generally activating an account, user administration issues that you see, but general navigation within the portals themselves to do what you need to do. Some of these portals can do some amazing things. They really can. I mean, you can request prescription refills. You can speak directly to your provider. You can schedule appointments online. You can pay bills. I mean, the you know, level of activity that you can do in these is amazing, and it just continues to grow. So we've been getting a lot more questions and inquiries from patients as to how they can fully leverage what that experience looks like.
Let's focus in a little bit on that. You know, one of the challenges with portals is there's like 16 of them. They're all different. You know, from a technical support standpoint, that's got to be a nightmare. From a patient standpoint, it's even worse than a nightmare. And then there's the challenge of, okay, so there's all those things that you can do, Chris, but what happens if I can't get in? Because that seems to be the primary challenge. I mean, what's a good portal experience in the universe that you interact with, what would you call out as a good experience, and what can we learn from that?
That's a great question, Doctor. I think a lot of this, when it comes to the good experience, is a call never happens to me in the first place. The good experiences, IT and technical support, don't occur. But when they do, to your point, there's several different portals out there. There's some organizations themselves that have 10, 11 portals themselves based on different regions or locations that they have. So to your point, you know, the amount of portals that are out there can be quite burdensome for a patient. And a lot of the calls, a lot of the interactions that we receive are just trying to find the right website, the right URL to get to the right hospital system that you're there. So, you know, I think from our perspective, you know, that good experience, a call in, directing them, educating the patient, getting them online, making sure they can see their medical records, that's a win for us. But at the same time, how can we provide information to the organizations to eliminate that call in the first place? I think a lot of that goes into interoperability between hospital systems. We really have to look at ways that, you know, and I'm going to focus on Epic again. When it comes to the Epic world, each organization may have their own MyChart. If I go see a hospital system for in Colorado because I break an ankle skiing down a mountain, and I go back to my doctor in Nashville, Tennessee, how can I get that information on my portal? How does that occur today? Now, in the clinical world, outside of the patient portal, there's you know, Epic Connect, where different Epic systems are sharing information, but that isn't quite crossing over into the patient experience yet. And I think, you know, that to me is one of the biggest barriers to really improving or increasing that patient experience, is just allowing them to see what I like to call their personal health record, their PHR, an EHR agnostic. Everything that happens to you within your life is within your fingertips. And, you know, I think that's a challenge of the industry to really see how we can make that happen and make that more efficient for the patient.
So as you think about some of the challenges and addressing them, one of the things that really strikes me about the COVID-19 pandemic is we had mental health problems to start with. I mean, that's been a huge burgeoning problem. I despise the term mental health. I talk brain health, but, you know, for the purposes of making sure that people understand what we're referencing. But imagine that from a perspective of an individual that's challenged with both, you know, interacting with people. Does this interaction through digital technology improve things? Are you able to sort of, you know, how do your support staff cope with that? Have they seen evidence of it? Is the, you know, are the things that we can learn to help that particular group that I think is very disenfranchised in system?
That's a fantastic question. And I wish I had a great answer for you, because I think we're all still trying to figure that out. But when it comes to that, you know, we offer an omni-channel approach for support, whether it's through chat, it's through a self-service portal. But the most rewarding ones are still the phone call. Because to your point, mental health, you're cooped up for a year due to this pandemic. Just being able to talk to somebody else, just being able to have that positive interaction, that great customer service experience, I really think that goes a long way. And I think that's the most rewarding thing for some of our agents, when they truly feel like they help someone over the phone. But it's not just, hey, I got you in, goodbye. It's let me show you how you can do some other cool things in here. Let me provide you some great education on how we can kind of move that forward. So, I mean, in my view, mental health can be improved by interactions through humans. I really truly believe that we're you know, social people by nature. And I think that continuous intercommunicative, you know, interactions that happen and occur positively can have a greater impact on the overall mental health of the you know, of the patient experience.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. We have to sort of make that as easy as possible. We've got to sort of take account of it, allow for it. One of the other areas that, you know, hugely underserved is the sort of the disconnect, those folks that don't have access. And, you know, it sounds like a little bit, you know, your omni-channel approach, I'm guessing people, if they don't have a smartphone, you know, there's 37 million people that are essentially disconnected from the digital health world through, you know, lack of internet access or lack of technology, but they can still call in. And I think it sounds like Cerecor is trying to service that group as well.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely correct. And you know, when it comes to that digital divide, I mean, I think as a society, that's a challenge that we have to continue to work to overcome. You know, that phone call experience, you know, could be seen as very helpful, but patient portal by nature requires that standard internet connectivity. So, you know, I think that'll always be a challenge until we fix some of the societal problems that we have, where we can provide more internet access across the country to those very rural areas that don't have that broadband internet access. I think that's continuously going to be a problem. Now, you know, one of our challenges too that kind of comes to that point is, if you have the patient that doesn't have that internet access, if they call us for support, it's a challenge for us because we're not clinicians. We're not going to be able to go and read your chart, tell you what your lab result means, and give you some advice on how that works. But what we can do is we can take that information, we can understand what they're looking for, and we can find their, you know, the provider that's on their file, and we can warm transfer them over to their provider to kind of help marry that gap and really help provide the clinical advice that they need.
So in the last few minutes remaining, what are you excited about? What's coming to this world of technology that will turn technical support portals to be a positive word that patients go, yeah, I get a great experience. What have you learned? What incremental steps have you found through this that you think others could learn from and apply?
You know, that's a great question. And thinking about it, I think when it comes to our side, a lot of our focus, overall Cerecor's focus when it comes to support methodology, we employ something called shift left methodology. And what the idea of that is that you're always shifting the next level of support down to the end user. So for example, if there's an unresolvable issue by a service desk agent and it goes to a level 2 technician, how can we take that and move that to the first level? And on top of that, how do I take that first level issue, for example, a password reset, or I don't know my username, or I can't see my lab results, how do I get that information and take that out of the service desk and put that directly into the hands of the patient themselves so that eliminates that actual interaction? I think one of the areas that we're really looking into at Cerecor is developing some of the usage in the chatbot technology as it relates directly into the portal world, using robotic process automation to basically be able to read charts, read areas with patient experiences, and provide them the information at their fingertips. I think that usage there, I think that's going to be, I think of the Amazons of the world, I think of the Googles of the world. How many times are they calling a support desk for help? I mean, everything's right there on their site. They've developed so much different pieces of technology that you have everything you need, and it's a truly a self-help world. So I think that's one key piece that we look at, is continuing to push that information left directly into the shareholder. And we look at that outside of the portal experience. We're trying to do the same thing with providers. We're trying to do the same thing with nurses, front desk administrative, executives, anybody in that healthcare realm. The other side, you know, telehealth's here to stay. I think it's focusing on the trends in telehealth, focusing on how we can improve what that experience looks like. You know, I think we're going to be moving away from, or not we're going to be moving away, there's going to be more peripherals that are jumping into the fold. You know, right now you're looking at camera and audio, but we're at HIMSS today. I started just looking around, looking at some booths. There's some really cool technology as it relates to telehealth, and how do you embed that into the patient experience? So, you know, I think when it comes to that piece, I think it's the use of self-help technology, predictive analytics to see what patients need, and then just improving and optimizing the telehealth paradigm.
Yeah, I think great points. But the one thing I would add to that you know, I talk about in other areas, but I think applies here, is, you know, for all of the people that work in IT support and whatever, I challenge them always, go experience it from the patient perspective or the clinician perspective, because it's so easy to be wrapped up and, well, this is obvious, you know. And when I was providing technical support to my, you know, 80-plus-year-old mother, you know, she had a different paradigm, different challenges, and that was always very leveling for me. And I think that's one of the things that I would say from an incremental standpoint, you know, applying that. But, you know, it's not just about the technology, as you said. It's about the engagement, the interaction, the humanity of that technical support that's important. Unfortunately, as usual, we've run out of time. And it just remains for me to thank you, Chris, for joining me. It's been a delight. I think, you know, it's an exciting time. We've seen this explosion of technology. It's really important. It's critical to the future that has changed dramatically as a result of the pandemic. And you're definitely part of that. So thanks for joining me, Chris.
The pleasure is all mine, Dr. Nick. Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining me today. Do you have any better ideas, or have you found a small incremental change that's brought about a big improvement in your world? Let's continue the conversation on our hashtag, The Incrementalist, or share with me at DrNick1 on Twitter. You can find more information about the show on our program page at healthcarenowradio.com. And tune in next time to hear my discussions with leaders and innovators from around the globe who've revolutionized their space by using small incremental improvements to achieve their moonshot. I'm Dr. Nick, the Incrementalist, and I'm starting a revolution through evolution.